What's your relationship with NPR like now?
It's good. You know, those people are still my friends. My book is really a Valentine to NPR and to my current employer, SiriusXM. Except for, you know, the little a couple of people who were bad to me, and they're gone. They're not at NPR anymore. So my relationship to NPR is great. I love them, listen to them, believe everyone should support them. I think they're a national treasure. And even more so, in, given what's happened to the media now, with newspapers dying off and you know, the cable shows in tabloid mode, and you know, NPR is more important than ever.
How have things changed from when you first started at in public radio to now, in terms of the approach to news gathering and dissemination that you've seen around you from other sources?
Well, it you know, there's good and bad. There's the development of NPR, and that's very positive. I'm glad that we have 24-hour cable news channels, but what appears on them troubles me. They're very good when there's a breaking story, and they're, you know, they can put a camera on anything anywhere in the world, and that's a good thing. But, you know, in between big stories, it's garbage. And this upsets me terribly. And they're shouting matches, and they bring people on the set who are going to scream at each other. And if they're not screaming at each other, they won't be invited back. You know, there's good and bad.
To what degree do you assign blame for the development of these negative forces in news on the people who run these networks? To what degree does that blame belong with the public who eats up their programming?
Yeah, I mean, we should demand better. But, you know, how do we do that? Boycott their products? No, I don't think so. Americans have accepted so much you know, I wonder why there isn't a revolution. What corporations have done to them, what government has done to them, what the media has done to them. I don't know how you can be awake and have your eyes open and not see that the country is for sale. And it's bought and sold every day by lobbyists giving campaign contributions to politicians.
In the book, you talk about a certain kind of criticism that you've seen make NPR or other news organizations pull its punches. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, they're nervous. They're ridiculously nervous about being called liberal, and they overreact to that, and that disturbed me, and still does. They should just report the news and not worry about what people are saying about them in that way, because they're going to get it anyway. I mean, you cannot be conservative enough for the Limbaughs and all the others out there who think you are liberal if you were not with them. You know, they're to the far right, and they think that's the only place to be. You can't be in the middle. You can't be detached. You have to be partisan with them. And if you're not, you're a communist. And that's the level of discourse. You know, that's the logic that they follow. And if you're playing that game, it's just stupid. I mean, they're going to be criticized as liberal if they're aggressively reporting the news. And that's what they should be doing, and not worrying about what other people are saying about them. They're not conservative enough. That's just garbage.
We're talking about,
but yeah, I mean, I would do a story, and they would say, well, you know, that's going to offend the Bush administration, so let's bring on somebody to say something that you're not saying, and you know, that's called balance, but it's a phony balance. That's bringing a liar on to balance to counter the truth.
Do you feel like journalists today sometimes shy away from declaring something a lie, even if there's abundant evidence that it's a lie?
Yeah, of course they do, because they mostly work for corporate employers who don't like controversy. They like mellow, mellow, easygoing, you know, infotainment.
But even
that's what people are comfortable with, and controversy creates problems for sponsors and. In the case of public broadcasting, difficult questions when you have to go before Congress to testify for continued federal funding.
So no one wants to rock the boat.
Exactly. Much easier to talk about missing blonde girls in Aruba.
So you've been in Washington for 40 years, working in the media, and you've seen how different presidents, different politicians have worked to spin the news coverage in their favor. Do Democrats and Republicans in any consistent way spin differently?
Well, sure. They spin it their way.
Well, but right, but beyond that, is there a specific kind of spinning that Democrats tend to do versus a kind of spinning that Republicans tend to do?
No, I think it's all the same. And, you know, the level of dialogue debate that goes on today has been reduced to basically yo mama. It's like 12-year-olds fighting in the schoolyard. And that's appalling. And most people understand this and have tuned it out. And that's wrong, too. You tune it out, and you're not participating anymore, and to the point where a lot of people are not voting because it's, you know, a plague on all their houses, and they're all the same. And that's wrong. You have to participate. You have to throw the rascals out.
I feel like when I hear journalists or observe journalists who are not, you know, the Bill O'Reillys of the world and people in those positions, I feel like they seem to be hesitant to act as if they believe in anything.
Well, you know, they're a different animal. I mean, O'Reilly is a showman. I'm not sure he even believes the stuff he comes out with. Or Limbaugh, they're entertainers. They are, you know, they found something that works for them. You know, Limbaugh was a DJ, and Beck was on the morning zoo. and these guys were, you know, like many in radio, bouncing from station to station and town to town and format to format. And they found something that clicked, something that worked, and they're running with it and became millionaires. And God bless them. So I'm not sure they really believe the stuff that comes out of their mouth, but they have to say it because it's good for business.
How many of the things that you've said in our conversation would you be able to say if you were still the host of Morning Edition?
None. I think good morning, you know, after that, none of that could go.
Is it liberating to not be in the position that you were in, to be in a position where you can speak your mind?
I don't know. Probably gets me in trouble. So maybe it's not a good thing.
How did you deal with that then while you're, because I mean, it's not like journalists don't have opinions and beliefs. How did those translate into your work when you were at Morning Edition?
Well, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about. You know, I would talk about, you know, how proud I was of that program and that network and my colleagues and all the good work that they do. It was easy to turn the conversation in that direction rather than spout off about individuals in the news or whatever. Now, you know, I can do that. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But I had to think of the rest of the organization, which was, you know, a straight arrow, in my opinion, news organization, and I had to think of its reputation and protect my colleagues and promote the team. Mm-hmm. I still do, even though I'm not on the team.